This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's my pleasure to welcome into the program somebody that I grew up idolizing is probably a tough word, but he was certainly my favorite player, one of the legendary Ring of Honor members of the Atlanta Falcons, number one pick overall in the 1975 draft, which is the exact same time I came in as a Falcons fan, was with Steve Bartkowski at quarterback. And I reached out to Bart this week, and he was kind enough to say he would join us and talk a little NFL football and catch up with Steve Bartkowski. Hey, Bart.
Hey, John. You're too kind with that introduction. I appreciate that very much. Good to be with you.
Well, again, back to number one overall pick, 1975. Before we get into the Falcons this year, I would kind of like to go back just a little bit into your career here, 24,000 plus yards, back-to-back 30 touchdown seasons. I promise I won't dwell on the game in 1980 because I was on the sidelines where not far from you when Drew Pearson. I'm not going to talk about that. but I do want to talk a little bit about, you know, you basically grow up in California. You become a star at Cal. And then you get drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. I know Atlanta in 1975. You obviously do. Some people who are new to town don't know that Atlanta in 1975 was a different town. When you came to town, was it culture shock for you?
Well, it absolutely was. I came from a West Coast environment in college where, there was rarely was there more than 30,000 people watching us play football on Saturday. Most of them were reading books and sunning rather than coming for the entertainment of the football game. So football, I found out, was something that was very special and very unique in the Southern culture. Of course, Atlanta was a great city. Loved Atlanta. I lived there for 41 years and, did my growing up there, so to speak. And, I just love the city still. Still have a son that lives there, and we get back occasionally. And still a rabid Falcon fan, for sure. But Atlanta is not what it used to be back in the day, as they used to say. And it was pretty special back in the day.
Yeah, you have to explain to people like what it was like before 285 was built.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, and 400 going to Lake Lanier was a two-lane road.
With cows and deer and everything else, right? You played on some great teams. When you were with the Falcons, Steve Bartkowski with us, Bart, you played on some great teams. My favorite team, probably yours, was 1980, and I think you were you win that game against Dallas, you win the Super Bowl, and not to bring up a bad memory, but you know, you played on some great teams with some great players. You know, some of the greatest in Falcons history, and of course, Coach Bennett. Do you have a particular moment from back in your time as quarterback at the Falcons that you go back and boy, man, that was so much fun? Is there a moment or a period that you reflect on as the quarterback of the Falcons that you say, that's it?
Well, I think, John, we actually had a chance to become a premier franchise, after a couple disappointing losses to the Cowboys in playoffs in 78 and then again in 80. I think we had a chance to really turn the corner and become one of those franchises that everybody else points at and says, you know, this is how you do it. Unfortunately, Mr. Blank didn't own the team back then. Had he owned the team, I think he'd have had maybe several Lombardi trophies kind of stashed away in his office. We needed a player or two. And, I did play with a lot of great players, man. I think of the times that I had with those guys in the locker room. And that's the thing that I reminisce about and think about the most, are the relationships that were created there. You're closer than brothers during the season. I mean, you spend more time with your teammates than you really do with your family, unfortunately. But that's kind of the nature of the game. And I had some great, great teammates back then. Guys, like Tommy Nobis and Jeff Van Oat and Mike Ken and, of course, William Andrews and Alfred Jenkins, Alfred Jackson, Wallace Francis. I could go on and on and on. And, just a lot of really great football players. Greg Brazina, Tom Pridemore, Bob Glazebrook. I was blessed to be a part of that. Unfortunately, as you mentioned, we didn't close the deal in 80. And that was deep. Premier chance that we had to get it done, and we let Dallas sneak back in the ball game, and they hit a pass late, and we went home, and they went on and got beat by Philly, and we'd already handled Philadelphia, and I would have had a chance to play against my hero Jim Plunkett in the Super Bowl that year. That would have been pretty special.
Yeah, Steve Barkowski joining us. Yeah, in 1980, you ripped off like 8-9 wins in a row, and late in that season, we were all in town. I was covering the team, obviously, and talking to all you guys, and you were the best team in the NFL. You were peaking at the right time, sort of not unlike 2006.
Yeah.
We won't mention that. Hey, by the way, I have a personal Steve Barkowski. I have a personal affinity for Fulton County because I can still feel it, smell it for football, not just for the Braves. That's a separate thing, but for the Falcons as well. It still has a look, and a feel and a smell to me from all my time down there that I loved. But do you like go to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and go, man, could I have played here?
I think everybody who walks in there says, wow. That's probably the easiest and best way to describe it. It's pretty special. I'm a big fan of football outdoors, and I think, that was kind of the way it was created to be played. But, I understand it's a game that the fans own now, and you got to make that game day experience something pretty special. And that's why all these new, multi-million dollar, sometimes billion dollar stadiums, that's why they're going up around the league. So, yeah, it's a phenomenal difference between us playing on the infield of the old Braves, infield, for the first three or four games during the season as they wrapped up. And then, that put that sod down and, it was about halfway seated at that point, there were some slipping and sliding going around and some nasty burns from the getting hit on that infield and sliding and so on and so forth.
Steve Barkowski joining John Fricke on Sports Radio 90.10 The Game, talking a little bit of Falcons. We'll get into the Falcons in just a moment. But reflecting again back on your playing days, football hasn't really changed. I'm in my mid-60s, obviously, you're a little bit older than me, not much, but a little bit older. Football hasn't changed during our lifetime, Bart, all that much. It's still blocking, it's still tackling, it's still run the ball, stop the run. Yet at the same time, I'm kind of curious. It's the same game that you played at the NFL level, but as you watch the NFL today, is it also an entirely different game?
Yeah, I think absolutely is, John. I mean, it's the only thing I see that's really familiar is the 11-on-11. I mean, they haven't changed that. You know, they again, it's adaptability. I think, you know, back when I played during my career, I mean, if you couldn't run the ball and stop the run, you know, on defense, run the ball on offense and stop the run on defense, or slow it down, you couldn't win in the National Football League. And then all of a sudden, you know, these guys, it just flipped. If you can't throw it and throw it all over the yard, and if you can't slow down the passing game from a defensive perspective, you know, you just can't be successful. You went from, you know, 3,000 yards in a season, you know, being sort of, you know, the pinnacle that everybody wanted to kind of reach. And back in my day, and now it's 5,000. You don't throw five for 5,000. you're nobody, you know, at the end of the day. And it's just that part of it's really changed. The guys are bigger, stronger, faster. You know, I've always said it's the most competitive job in the Western Hemisphere, and I stick to those guns. I think it's one of the hardest things to do is make an NFL roster. And, you know, kudos to the guys that get out there and get it done. And, you know, one other thing that's changed is the amount of money these guys are putting in their pocket, you know, from a game check standpoint. So you know, there's a few changes, you know, but it's still football, and it's something that I think everybody loves. You know, it seems to be still the number one sport, the king of all sports, if you will. And you know, I'm just happy to see the Falcons pointed in the right direction. I like what Raheem's doing. I love Arthur Blank. You know, he and I are good friends, and man, I just wish he would have had a chance to own that team while I was playing.
All right, so you said you bring it up, Art. Let's talk a little bit about that. Steve Barkowski's thoughts about this year's Atlanta Falcons team. We just saw them go to Denver and just, I don't know what that was, Steve. It's been a source of a lot of anger and consternation because that team didn't show up in Denver, and we don't know what the last six games are going to hold here. And, you know, Falcons fans have been burned a lot, and so we hold our breath here about the last six games this year. Well, what do you kind of view this team with Kirk Cousins as right now, and where do you think they're headed?
Well, I mean, they're on top of their division. That's really all that matters at the end of the day, is get into that second season, you know, and if you can get in there with a bye, or if you can get in there with the home field advantage, you know, that's kind of what you're playing for now. I mean, you can ask for anything more, I don't think, you know, from a Falcon fan standpoint, than to just have the guys, you know, in the hunt. And, I mean, they are clearly in the hunt. You know, it's been a long time since we've had sort of a critical football game in the city of Atlanta, which I think we have over these next couple of weeks. Well, certainly this week against the Chargers, and then, you know, got to go to Minnesota. But, I mean, this is the pivotal point in the season for the guys. I think they all know it. I think the bye week couldn't have come at a better time. Sometimes in the NFL, it just doesn't work. You know, you get out there, it doesn't matter how good your team is. And, you know, it's just the parity is such that, you know, you better bring your A game. If you don't, you're going to get your butt whooped. That's just kind of the way the game is these days, and always has been, really. So, I just think it's exciting to have our team in the hunt, to, you know, looks like they're pointed in the right direction. I think Kirk is taking care of the football. He's done a great job so far. And you know, I just expect them to go ahead and try to, you know, get in this hunt and close the deal. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, you mentioned,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You know, back in your day, you know, some of the great players you played with, you know, on defense, you know, and you can go through the list, obviously. You know, the great linebackers, Brezina, Fulton, Cotganal, and all the great defensive tackles and whatnot. The great DBs. This team has talent on defense, Bart. They do. They have talent at every level. And yet, for whatever reason, it's not – the big criticism here is that Jimmy Lake, the new defensive coordinator, is not using this personnel correctly and playing a 3-4 in a soft zone. Do you see this? I mean, with a lot of people in Atlanta calling me up on my show, and they will today, saying press coverage blitz, because this is the great blitz. A lot of old-timers haven't forgotten that, right?
Right. Well, I think that's absolutely true. The thing about it is, John, there's only a couple ways to really defend, against the pass. You either got to go get the quarterback and get in his face and stay in his face, and you got to have the personnel to do that with, or you got to have two lockdown corners. Actually, three. The guy in the slot now, everybody's playing three wides, and they better be the best man-to-man cover guys. You need Michael Haynes and you need Lester Hayes back there, you know, and if you can't go get the quarterback and move him around and get him off his spot back there and make him make plays with his feet, which a lot of these quarterbacks can do these days. But, it's the only two ways you can really come up with a way to shut the passing game down. We haven't been able to get to the quarterback. I don't know that we've got, Lester Hayes and Michael Haynes out there. I think AJ is a great corner, but I think that he always kind of, you just don't have that matching other side, if you will. So I don't know how you play. I mean, if I was Jimmy Lake, I wouldn't know what to do either. You're darned if you do and you're darned if you don't. And at the end of the day, the guys have to make plays. You have to figure out a way to beat that guy, get to the quarterback, move him off his spot, or just lock down in such a way that, guys come up with plays, that's the way you go about it. Some weeks it works and some weeks it don't work, I know they've been banged up too defensively, so I don't want to, be too critical. I mean, they got a lot of guys that haven't played a bunch that are out there playing now, and hopefully this bye week we kind of get our legs back under us and get some of these guys that have been nicked up and playing through it, maybe with a kind of a fresh restart and go strong here for these next six games.
All right, another minute or so with Steve Barkowski, Falcons legend, who's been kind enough to join me on 92.9 The Game today. You got close, Bart. Michael Vick got close. Chris Chandler got close. Matt Ryan got super-duper close. We all know that. As Falcons fans, do you see Raheem Morris and Kirk Cousins swinging into Michael Penix as a period of time where the Falcons might actually, under Arthur Blank, be able to finally have a parade?
Well, I'll tell you, John, knowing Arthur like I do, I know he's not going to rest until he hoists that Lombardi Trophy. That's where it all starts. I believe in what the decisions they're making. I think Raheem has done a really good job of putting this football team together. It doesn't happen overnight, unfortunately. I look at the Detroit Lions, and to see how they've really risen from the dust and now are one of the premier franchises and premier football teams in the National Football League. And I sort of see a pattern there. They've sort of built it around, the coach being, a guy who has been around it for a long time, played for a long time and kind of understands the workaday mentality and getting out there and getting it done. So I'm encouraged. I think we're on the right track. I think, if it doesn't happen this year, I don't see any reason why it couldn't happen in the near future.